If you have a Bible tonight, we'd like to invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we are looking at sort of a mini series out of Hebrews chapter 11. And we were talking about our faith, and as we grow, as we mature, and as we develop. And we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11 and looking at the characters listed in Hebrews 11 and how they had special things in their lives as they walked their walk of faith and how it might be a contribution to our walk and might help us in our daily life and our relationship with the Lord. I think the relationship we have with the Lord ought to be something that's growing. It ought to be something that's developing and that we are more mature today than we were a year ago or yesterday. That we ought to be growing in the things of our Lord. We started out in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, and we dealt with the definition of faith. And let me say this, you're going to find that this is the only place in the Bible where faith is defined in verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews. And then we start looking at what faith is in our lives, and we looked at that in verse number 3. Verse 4 dealt with the first character. And we learned from Abel. Abel's our first character. His faith taught us how to approach God. God wants to be worshipped a certain way. He does not want to be worshipped the way you feel you want to worship Him. Or the way man says we need to worship Him. Cain tried that. And we see there's a specific way God wants to be approached. And we were able to look at Abel's life in that. The next character was Enoch. We learned from his faith how to walk with God. And his life pleased the Lord. Our life ought to be pleasing unto the Lord. The next one was Noah. And we looked at his faith and how it was a faith that warned others of judgment to come. And aren't we doing that today? We're telling people, hey, you need to accept Christ. Hell is a reality. And, if you want to go to heaven, you have to know Jesus Christ. Then we dealt with Abraham, and we learned from him how to have an obedient faith, to do what God says needs to be done. We looked at the patriarchs. We learned from them how to have an enduring faith, a lasting faith. It should not change. It ought to be the same. We learned from Jacob how to follow the promise and the purpose of God without seeing it. You've got to just keep following. You may not see it, but we've got to keep following. We learned also from Joseph how to have a undying faith. His faith, even though he went through some tremendous things, his faith was never dying. It was always there. Then we learned a little bit from Jochebed and Amram. Remember, that's the parents of Moses. They believed God. They had a fearless faith. They believed in the promises of God. They knew God had promised a Messiah, and that God had promised them land. And they knew God was going to raise up a leader, and they thought it was going to be Moses. Moses had a self-denying faith, willing to sacrifice. We looked at Israel's faith. It was a conquering faith as they walked into Jericho. And remember, at the close of Moses' life, Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry land. And understand this, the mightiest army in the world was coming down on them. And boy, I tell you what, Praise God that Moses was able to lead them in their faith and keep them headed. And remember, God parted that water, and they walked through all night long. All night long. And God did a wonderful thing there. Now, tonight, we're going to look at a character that's a little different for us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Notice what the Bible says about Rahab. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says about Rahab in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, there's a lot in our Bibles about what happened here. And tonight we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the saving faith. The saving faith of Rahab. She believed in God. You go, wait a minute, how could she believe in God? She was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't an Israelite. She still believed in God. Father, bless now this effort of preaching and teaching. Show us from the Word of God exactly what you have for us tonight. Thank you for these truths. It's in Christ's name we pray and we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. As we think about the faith of Rahab and as we consider it, how do we understand biblical truth? Well, we all know that we understand biblical truth by the Bible. Now, how do we understand the Bible? There's a lot of people say, well, you have your interpretation, and I have my interpretation. Folks, that's not the way it is. That's not how we understand the Bible. We've got to always remember, the Bible interprets itself. If you become the authority over it, then you have taken a step you shouldn't take. The Bible's an authority over us. And we've got to remember that. How do we interpret Scripture? We interpret Scripture in light of other Scripture. And we understand our Bibles. Now, let me give you an example. There's a lot of confusion out there on doctrine. A lot of confusion about different doctrines. And one of the doctrines that a lot of people have confusion about is this thing of baptismal regeneration. Because there's a lot of different verses that can be pulled out of context or can used in a different way. And the Bible is just pretty plain about baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. But does a Christian get baptized? Yes. And there's no place where a Christian should not get baptized. We ought to all get baptized. But it doesn't mean it's part of your salvation. In fact, there's a verse of Scripture I want us to turn to. Turn to Mark chapter 16. And I want to show you something. Because there are some that would come in and say, well, baptism is part of your salvation. You never really are saved until you get baptized. Well, that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says in Mark 16, and this is what Jesus had to say about it. So this ought to be the authority on it. And Mark chapter 16, notice what he said in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's where it's confusing. People look at that verse and they get very confused. But notice the important thing is mentioned in the next part of that verse. But he that believeth not shall be damned. What's the important part of that verse? What is it? It's believing. Is there any place where God doesn't want a Christian baptized? No. That's why you see it sometimes following believe or faith, and baptism is mentioned in the same verse. It's not part of salvation. Why did Paul say in a verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, why did he say that Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel? Why? Because believing is what saves people. And we've got to understand that. There are some that would teach baptismal regeneration. Then we have some that would teach that you go to work by, or you go to heaven by your good works. Now, what does the Bible teach us about that? Well, Ephesians 2:8-9 is pretty plain. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of what?
Works.
The Bible does say that a man is not justified by the law. That's what it says in the book of Romans. We're not justified by the law, but by faith. You go, well, why are you saying this? Because what has always been the element of salvation? Believing. The Bible said Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. See, the people saved in the Old Testament, if this was the cross, the people saved in the Old Testament looked to the cross. They're saved by faith in God's plan. How are we saved? Same faith, but we look back. And that's the only difference. The plan of salvation has always been the same. Now, Let me show you as we look at Rahab, because I want you to see that the Word of God has got some really wonderful verses of Scripture here concerning her. This is a beautiful picture of saving faith and how it can change you. It's a beautiful picture of the ancestors of Christ. Do you realize that Rahab is in the line of Jesus? She's in the line of Christ. And you go, well, boy, why would God use somebody like that? Well, praise God, she got saved. And that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. Huh? Aren't you glad He doesn't give up on us? Boy, He could have given up on you. Huh? I'm so thankful He does not give up on us. Now, let's understand a little bit about Rahab and what was going on there. Remember, they're marching into Jericho. The walls have come tumbling down. We preached on that last week, didn't we? Yeah, I preached on that last week. The walls came tumbling down. And now, let's look in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. It's a wonderful story. And we have spies being sent in Jericho. And these are being sent in there by Joshua. And notice what the Bible says in Joshua 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, something you need to realize, that a lot of theologians, a lot of commentators, believed that one of the two spies was Selman. That one of the two spies was Selman. And you say, why is that important? Just keep that thought in your mind. One of the two spies was more than likely Selman. And notice what it says in verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they become to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them. And she hid them up on her roof. And the men were up there on the roof. And verse number 5, and it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I would not pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And she said, hey, the men have gone out. They're gone. And the men rush out of the gate, and they're going after them. Look at verse 9. The men are there in her house. They're staying there for the night. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them in verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. See, the word had gotten back. The waters parted, and the Israelites walked across on dry land, and the mightiest army in the world was destroyed. I mean, the testimony of God was going out. And for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and here the picture is just of the testimony of what God could do was in her mind. Now look down at verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above. You see the belief there? You see it? She's a believer. Huh? She believes in God. Your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. And when the men left, down in verse 18, you'll see that she needed to tie a scarlet ribbon in the window. And that's exactly what she did. Put a scarlet line in the window. Now, look at Joshua chapter 6. To get all of the story, Joshua chapter 6, look what the Word of God says in verse 17. And the city, this is after they've gone in, the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. And he goes on, look to verse 22. And Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and their brethren and all that she had, and they brought out her her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, even unto this day, all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse 5. This is the lineage of Christ. And Salmon begat Boaz. Oh, we've heard that name before. In the book of Ruth. Right? Of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat who? Jesse. Who is Jesse? David's father. There she is in the line of Christ. And understand this. A wonderful thing happened here. Turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And let me show you this. James chapter 2, and then we're going to go back and do some preaching on it. Notice what it says, James 2:25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works. Now don't get upset yet. Don't let that bother you. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Why did Rahab do what she did? Because she believed God. Now, does works save you? No. But any person that believes will have what?
Works.
Huh? It's just part of it. That's what James 2 is all about. You say, well, I don't have any works. Well, are you really saved? Because when we get saved, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen. And see, we're changed. And God changes us. Now, here, God changed a harlot. And she was a prostitute, and her name was Rahab. And why did she take care of these spies? Why was she for Israel? Because she believed in God. And yes, she was a Canaanite woman. And yes, there was a phenomenal conversion that took place. And God totally changed her life. What did she say in Joshua chapter 2? She said this, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Your God is God. Huh? And He became her God. That's exactly what transpired here. Rahab believed what she had heard about God, and that He was true and the only true living God, and her faith was shown by what she did or her works. And it was illustrated there. Now, the Bible says this, "How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." You know what we have to do? We have to believe God and trust Him. Now, what is it when you get saved? See, the devils believe in God. Huh? That's what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? In Romans 10:9-10, what's it say? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Amen.
See, there's a lot of people who've got a head knowledge of God, but they're not saved. Just having a head knowledge of God that He is doesn't save you. When does it become salvation? When you trust Him. Believe in thine heart. That's trusting. And see, there are a lot of people that can talk about God. There's a lot of people that, you know, they might go to church all the time. Huh? But they're not saved until they trust Him. And right here, she did. She trusted Him. And we see that it was shown in her actions that she truly trusted God. Now, here we have Rahab the harlot. And here, what did she do? She put, the Word of God tells us, she's put a scarlet thread in the window. And what is that a picture of? That's the picture of salvation for us. And what does scarlet represent? Well, it's red. It's a picture of the blood. And folks, what is it that saves us? Trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. His blood being shed for us. What's the Bible say about the shedding of blood? The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's why we trust Him and what He did on the cross. And His blood covers our sin. That's why He is our propitiation. That's our covering. The blood covers us. Now, what is it that saved Rahab here? I tell you what it is. It was that scarlet ribbon hanging in that window. But that was just a picture of her belief in what God's plan was. And boy, what a wonderful picture we have here. There's an old preacher. Many of you probably heard of him. How many of you ever heard of Oliver B. Green? Several of you? Number of you? Okay. Oliver B. Green, I was reading him on this very point. Listen to what he has to say. Now you got to listen, because it's a good thing. This presents a beautiful picture of salvation. Two spies made the promise. Rahab believed it. And even though a great host of Israelites were to move in upon the city, she believed that scarlet thread was her assurance for protection. All the money in Jericho could not have purchased that scarlet thread, because it was Rahab's guarantee of her salvation. While others were destroyed through unbelief, and Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she did, she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now listen to this. This is most interesting. The Word of God does not name the Israelite who befriended this woman of Jericho, but a noble soul in the land of Israel took her in, loved her, and gave her a new home. And as she lived among the Israelites, she grew in grace, in faith, and in strength. We can easily believe that Rahab was an attractive woman. She could make friends. She had a great personality. But she now had something else. You know what she had? She had the Lord in her heart, because she's a born-again believer. She was a new creation, a completed woman. And a young man fell in love with her and married her. Now, here's what he said, Oliver B. Green. I like to think that this young man was one of the spies. But that is just supposition on my part. The Bible does not tell us who he was. The record does not does prove, however, Rahab became wife of an Israelite, and God believed, God blessed them and gave them a son, and they called his name Boaz. You go, what's this all about, Brother Ron? God can save anyone. He saved a harlot here. He can save a murderer. He can save a thief. Hey, one of the greatest, probably known men that was a murderer was Paul. You go, I don't remember him murdering anybody. Oh, it talks about him slaughtering Christians. He was involved in it. Where do you think he was when they were stoning Stephen? Where was Paul? He's right there holding the garments. Watching Stephen get murdered. Folks, God can save anybody. I mean, God even reached down and saved you. Huh? From your sin. And we can look at this. The Bible's very clear here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Aren't you glad? He can reach into your life and save you. Here we have a harlot, Rahab. And she's in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. Who would have ever thought? Huh? Who would have ever thought? That this is a great display of God's grace, His mercy, and His ability to save anybody and change them. Huh? Only He, Jesus, can do that. God can save anybody. Now, listen to this verse. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to this verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, how true that is. And the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What did Jesus say? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We're sort of narrow around here. We believe the only way to God is through Jesus. That's it. I'm going to read some quotes from different people this coming Sunday, and it's going to shock you. Of what some religious people say. In fact, I'm going to read a quote that says this, that if you believe Jesus is the only way, that's just absolutely foolish. Very well-known actor. And we're totally foolish. Huh?
Amen.
That's right. I'm going to read another quote this weekend. It says this, that the Muslims believe in the same God we believe in. No, they don't. They believe in the moon God.
Amen.
They believe in Allah.
Yes.
I don't believe in Allah.
No.
I believe in God in heaven.
Amen.
Folks, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. And He changed this woman's life. Now look around this room of how God changed us all. Some of us were just terrible people. And God reached down and saved us. Some of us weren't quite so bad, but God still reached down and saved you. Huh? I was talking to a young man at a youth camp, and I was telling him about my salvation experience because I was saved out of a bad situation. And he goes, "Well, Brother Ron, I didn't have the change you had. Mine wasn't as dramatic." I said, "Well, why wasn't yours as dramatic?" He says, "Because I was raised in a good home. I had a good daddy. I had a good mama. They loved the Lord. Our house was a Christian home." I said, "Well, did you get saved?" "Well, I called upon the Lord." "Did He change you?" "Well, not like He changed you, but did He change you?" See, we don't measure the level of how drastic our change was. And he says, "You know, I guess you got it right there. He did change me. It just wasn't like yours." And sometimes people start thinking, "Well, man, mine wasn't as drastic as yours. Hey, if you were raised in a good Christian home, praise God, God can save you and change you, and it won't be as drastic as it was for me." Aren't you glad He can still reach down and save?
Yes, sir.
He can do just that. He did that right here with Rahab. She had a faith that believed God, and it was her saving faith. And that's the same kind of faith we have to have. All right. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, I pray tonight that they might realize that they could be saved tonight, that Christ could provide the answers for their salvation. And I pray they would just step out by faith and trust Christ. I'm glad that He doesn't just repair us. I'm glad He changes us and we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Maybe there's a Christian here tonight and they're not quite as excited as they used to be. Some things have cropped up in their life that's got their attention and it's taking their attention away from You. Oh Lord, speak to hearts only as You can. Guide us in this, please. Do what only You can do in life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the instrument plays, if you need to come and do business with the Lord, you come. You come.